Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this December the 3rd on the West Coast, December the 4th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to everyone listening in around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network. Want to give a special shout-out to all the U.S. military personnel out there. No one in particular, although tonight we have a guest who leans one way as far as the various branches of the military. You'll find out in a moment, if you haven't already guessed, which one. And also we want to give a shout out to those listening to us around the world on blogtalkradio.com. Well, there's a lot going on in the world. The Congress has been, or I should say the Senate, actually, has been grilling Ben Bernanke on his nomination to continue being the chairman of the Federal Reserve. And I listened to Christopher Dodd's speech today praising him for the wonderful job he's doing. And Dodd certainly knows about the trillions of dollars that are being embezzled and have been for a number of years. And so the whole thing was nothing but a dog and pony show to give us the illusion that there's actually something being handled, something being taken care of. Behind the scenes is a totally different story. Christopher Story came out with a new article that I posted on my news page at directlightproductions.com. It's also at worldreports.org. It's a fantastic expose on what's happening with the whole world coming down on the corruption in Washington, D.C. and in the New York Central Banks. You see, there's accountability that is the reality of the banking system of the future. And these guys want to continue with their bogus derivative and hedge fund scams, their Ponzi schemes, their raiding of bank computers, their theft of real estate, their hypothecation of assets, the stealing of public assets for private gain, and the assignment of the debt from the private sector to the public. That's what the game is going on, and it's all crashing down on them. Give it a little bit of time, and you'll see that for 2.5 years, I've been telling you the truth on this radio show, as well as many of my guests that have been on the show. Tonight's guest is a former U.S. Marine, 1967 through 1977. He is a talk show host and a researcher in his own right, and a very good journalist and writer as well. And he also is an expert in electronics and was trained as such when he was a Marine, ran his own business along those lines, and he is the host of A Marine's Disquisition. And all this month of December, he's going to be our Thursday night guest, my good friend Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it very much. To all my Marines around the world, Semper Fi! Attack!
See, I told you you'd find out which branch.
Light my fire!
Well, you had a very good show today with Bob Chapman and Colorado Al, by the way, too. That's a very good show. You touched on a lot of topics. Certainly, Bob Chapman is kind of saying the same things I'm saying, although he's specifically going into what's happening in all the different areas of the markets and what have you. But there's a recurring theme, isn't there, Drew? There's corruption that's never been seen before on this planet going on right now.
How deep do you want to get with the corruption? How many people out there even have decided that, well, Orly Tanks has backed away from her lawsuit out in California? They don't know the truth. Orly Tanks did her duty. Is when I told everybody, I said, look, it's not over yet. If she doesn't file a notice of appeal within 20 days, I'm going to contact the plaintiffs. And I'm going to show them how to file a notice of appeal. Well, guess what? On the order came down from the judge on the 29th. Judge Carter ruled against and threw out the case. Then on the 13th of November, Orly Tanks puts an order in there for a request for judicial notice on the motion. Okay. On the 9th, I'm sorry, for reconsideration. A notice on the motion and a motion for reconsideration on the order. Now, that's the pursuant to the law. Okay? She has to do something. But then she turns around and she does the nice thing on the 16th of November, a notice of appeal of the judge's order, and then turns around and attacks Obama and the lawyers on the third, that's today, with a letter to the judge about the corruption, because the judge, David O. Carter, is taking under advisement the motion for consideration, and because he's taking it under consideration, he's dismissing the federal oral argument of Federal Rules of Civil Procedure 78 and the local rule of 715 to look at the evidence of, guess what, corruption, because the motion for reconsideration had fraud and other parts. And what's listed in this is exhibits. Now, I pulled these exhibits. I pulled this pleading because I thought it was relevant to people to know what the real truth is. And it amazes me that Orly Tanks, she's gone down the rabbit hole on Obama in her request for an investigation of misconduct in legal proceedings, submission of perjured affidavits, submission of letter to the court by an attorney with improper purpose of covering up criminal activity, obstruction of justice, and withholding evidence by attorneys, and guess what? And the United States attorneys acting on the benefit of conflict of interest, meaning they're working as attorneys for we the people, but then on the other side, they're working for Obama to cover up evidence. And it comes forth, and she flat lays it out in a 14-page document that Don, you'll have to read later. I mean to tell you, this is just came to my attention tonight, and you talk about right on the head the fraud, the lies to the American people. How deep does it go? It goes all the way to the presidencies of the United States. Even Eisenhower birth is not who he says he is. What was the cover up? Well, the cover up was to keep men like George Patton from coming back to the United States and becoming the president of the United States. But he wasn't going to shut up, so they had to shut him up. They murdered George C. Patton. And when they murdered George C. Patton, they let the other 4- and 5-star generals out there know that they would do the same thing to them and their families if they stepped on the shoes about becoming the president or running for office in the United States. But not Dwight David Eisenhower. Was he part of the big plan? I don't know. That's up to God, because Dwight David Eisenhower is long since passed. And when he left office, was he trying to make amends for the sins that he did while he was in office, warning the American people of the industrial complex that's out there?
You mean the military, military-industrial complex.
Military-industrial complex, right.
Yeah. I can tell you this, Drew. My next piece is underway already. My next article, I have narrowed it down to let's just. I'm not going to give it away. Okay.
But I didn't know you got paid doing this. I got to find out how to get paid to get it to do this radio spot.
I can say this. It's obvious that anybody that becomes the president of the United States is a made man. Or, you know, maybe we'll have a woman sometime, but it'll be a made person unless we end this corruption. But this is going to make a lot of sense, and it's going to spin a lot of heads. You're going to see people do impersonations of the girl in The Exorcist, Reagan, when her head turns all the way around. People are going to be doing that when they see some of what I found. It's been a tough 2 days of research, but I've gotten pretty good at finding the needles in the haystack, and I've poured over tons and tons of material, and what I find in these genealogies is there are intentional roadblocks, intentional brick walls set up that if you want to do any genuine work in that area to legitimize who a person is or to determine if they're legitimate, they do everything in their power to make it as near impossible as you can imagine. But as I said at the beginning of my article that came out on the 30th, we're in times where we don't have to go looking for the truth. Now the truth is just coming to us. It's finding us. And you will be amazed, Drew, at what comes out. And so will my readers and my listeners. We'll have a heck of a lot to talk about. It's going to be one heck of a rewriting of history, too, I'll tell you.
Well, I can believe that. There's going to have to be something done, or we're going to be sitting here wallowing in the lies and the quagmire of our past, and where are we going? Quite honestly, Don, I don't think America's going to make it another 2 or 3 years. I really don't. I actually foresee, me personally, this is my personal observation. I made this statement in 1992 that I would be totally surprised if we make it to the year of 2000 without some major catastrophic events happening to wake up the American people. That was in 92, and yet we did have those events. We had the burning at Waco. We had the Murrah building in Oklahoma City. We had several other catastrophic events, Flight 800, for instance. Then we had the big scare of 2000. Then in 2001, just a short 9 months after Baby Bush comes diddy-bopping into office, the World Trade Center gets blown up, and I say blown up. I didn't say attacked with planes. I said blown up, and anybody in their right mind standing on any building in the world, preferably one as tall as the Empire State Building, and there's quite a few of them out there, take a cue ball, just a regular old-fashioned pool ball from a pool table, and take your stopwatch. Have a friend standing down below. Do it on a Saturday when there's nobody walking on the streets. And put a sign up, danger, cue ball falling. And take your stopwatch and with a radio headset and hit the stopwatch when your friend on the top of the building drops the cue ball. Give it take, let's say, 2 seconds. So you have the radio reception back and forth. Take 2 seconds and add to it for the lack of communication. And then look at the time that it takes the cue ball to fall those towers from the top of the Empire State Building, and then running against the fall of either one of the Twin Towers. And that, ladies and gentlemen, the time difference is going to be so close. It's unreal. Then go out there and watch one of these expert demolition companies bring down a building that's over 20 stories high and time it, just 20 stories. And ladies and gentlemen, you will find that when correlation, there's a problem out here, and we, the American people, are being lied to, and it's gotten so deep that the lies are catching up with them really fast. 9-1-1 2011 is not going to go away. Barack Hussein Obama's birth certificate questions are not going to go away. Janet Palin is now asking, making statements that Obama's birth certificate is a fair question. So it's all of this is coming out, and we've got the former president of the United States, long since dead, who can be brought forth as a hidden agenda president from behind the scenes. Who's controlling America? Hello?
Yeah, I'm still there. Oh, you're asking me that
question? I'm asking you, who's controlling America?
Well,
you're the Thomas Paine of the 21st century. You got to be digging in this hole somewhere with a crane, my friend.
Well, it's the banks, it's the pharmaceutical companies, it's the oil companies, it's the military industrial complex. It goes deeper than that. We won't even go there tonight, but certainly it's a number of issues, but it's organized crime is what's controlling it. They're all elements of organized crime. And the thing is that everybody that knows this in a position to stop organized crime is allowing it to continue. It's a quite an interesting phenomenon that people take oaths to honor the Constitution and to protect it and to protect this country. And yet what they're doing, they turn the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury into a piggy bank and a private piggy bank that we're paying
for. There you go.
For.
There's the word private.
Yes. And that this is all coming out in the alternative media. You're not hearing this on the mainstream media. And yet you mark my words and mark the words that you're hearing come from my guest, Drew Raines, tonight. You will see very soon that the mainstream media is going to be forced to come out and talk about these things because the rest of the world is not going to stand for it. Now, we know that they want this new world order, but we're talking about a criminal cabal that's doing this. These people are in deep doo-doo right now, Drew.
The biggest deep doo-doo in the world right now in Europe, massive. Hundreds of thousands of people in several countries are fed up with the lies of this cabal of evil people that are trying to force feed the world into some form of new world order utilizing climate and the fraud of the climate. I mean, we're talking about fraud with a capital D for dysentery. And Obama is going over to Copenhagen this coming December the 7th. He's flying out of Washington, D.C. on Pearl Harbor Day to go to an unprecedented meeting in Copenhagen where we're going to have this unprecedented amount of fraud that is like regurgitation fluid, and yet, here in America, our own news media is ignoring the massive amount of fraud and the massive amount of people around the world that have better newspapers and more access to honest truth in the news than Americans do. We have become the Stalinist group of people, the Nazis, Stalinist, fascists, that were dreamed of by Stalin and Hitler. Ladies and gentlemen, I got news for you. The fraud is not just deep. It's unprecedented in the history of man. And where do we go from here? Ladies and gentlemen, we're headed to a national civil conflict in this nation that's going to bring down the house to the point where we're going to end up living like we did in the 1870s, the 1880s, the 1890s, and you can forget about Nikola Tesla coming out of the wings to move us into a new industrial age. We're going to be here wallowing, dying around America. Death has never been seen in America about than what is about to happen right here. And what are the elitists doing? They're out there printing up the paper that we call financial aid and money. We don't have money anymore. They're printing Federal Reserve notes faster than they cut the tree down. I got news for you people. You've got to get out there and network. You need to network and know who your friends are, who your doctors are, who your dentists are. Who's going to help you when this whole thing comes apart? Have you negotiated with some friends? Have you found out what medical doctors that are real doctors that believe in health, not health through some chemical with Big Pharma? I'm talking about health through God's natural earth, or health with dentistry without utilizing the modern day conveniences of painkillers. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going back in time faster than you would realize. This idea that everything is fine, you got your head up your posterior. I talked to a gentleman the other day. He's so far out of here, it's unreal. And what's sad, ladies and gentlemen, he's 82 years old. He's a World War II veteran. And yet, he was born and raised during the Depression years of 1928 through 1940. And he doesn't see it. Tommy, I wonder what's wrong. My grandmother, God bless her soul, 4 years ago, saw it coming 4 years ago. And she reminded me before she died that in 1992, I made the prediction that there would be war on our soil in the near future, if not before the year 2000, not far after that. She passed on at 104. She raised a family during the Depression. She lived through the Depression. She lived through World War II. By God's mercy, she lost no children during the war, during the Korean War. She was so scared for me because she'd been blessed by not losing any of her children. And I was the only grandchild that volunteered for military service. She did not think I was going to come home. She prayed on her knees every day, though my third tour of duty, because she felt that her family had been blessed too much by not surrendering one of her children or grandchildren to the pillages of war. But I made it. And I'm here today, and I've always wondered why. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I've always wondered why I made it and this other Marine didn't, or this other Navy man or Air Force man didn't. And it's because I've got the guts to stand up. I'm not going to go quietly in the night. I believe in my ancestry on one family tree, great-great-uncle, Major General Smedley Darlington Butler. On another family tree that takes me all the way back to the Revolutionary War, five of my great-great-great-uncles were military men fighting in the Revolutionary War, four for the southern states against the northern aggression, one in the northern states fighting for the Union because he felt that the states united were better off than being split. He wasn't fighting for or against slavery. He lost his life in 1862. The other four from the southern state, three of them lived through the war to see the states united again, but they saw the perils of the 14th Amendment, the perils of the 13th Amendment, and wrote about it in their books. My history goes all the way back to George Washington, a bodyguard for George Washington, served with George Washington from 1777 through 1798. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I come from a family that knows what honor is, what justice means, and what loyalty belongs to. And I'm not going to go quietly in the night. I'm going to get out here, and I'm going to let my fellow Marines know that they should not be dying in far-off lands for the elitist cabal who only cares about the amount of money they got, but also about control, because they don't have any need. Nazi Pelosi, she doesn't care about a paycheck. She's got the United States Air Force flying her back and forth every week at a cost of $500,000 to fly home to her constituents. Does she really do anything for the homosexual city of San Francisco? No. But she spends $500,000 of your money totally against the founding fathers and what this nation was brought forth. Nobody wants to bind these congressional representatives, these senators, and the president, especially the president of the United States. Says nobody wants to bind them to the fact that they took an oath to the Constitution, which limits their power. Everybody is so enthused with their seven-course dinner, i.e., a six-pack and a pizza. It's getting atrocious out there. It's in your face. People are being laid off across America. The real unemployment rate is well over 22%. But you listen to the Obama administration and they say, no, 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 it's only about 9. And yet people turn around and say they see 8 or 10 or 20 people laid off at this place. Today the word got out that Bank of America, who bought out Wachovia, is going to close over 122 branch banks.
That's in California, right?
And that's just in California.
Yeah.
Now, of those 122, you go to any branch bank and you see how many people are working in those branch banks. I checked right here and talked to several branch bank managers, and there's usually 8 to 12, depending on the size. And the smallest branch bank of any of the major banks in Arkansas or Louisiana, there is a minimum of 7 employees. And those branch banks are located in grocery stores to help the people that come to the grocery store. They usually open up early, usually around 8:30, and they usually close later than the normal bank does. They usually stay open every night of the week till 6. Not just on Fridays. And they're open on Saturdays for 4 hours, just like the branch bank is, but they also stay open an extra 2 hours to 2 o'clock on Saturdays. So there is at least 7 employees there working at that bank. So 122 branch banks. And Bob Chapman today said that, well, most of those people will be absorbed into the rest of the banking system. Well, you go figure, ladies and gentlemen, if there's an average of, let's say, 8, just an average of 8, we're talking about almost 1,000 employees. Almost. Now, of that 1,000, who's going to be laid off? Most likely the ones at the higher paying positions, such as the branch managers, or they're going to go take another job as a teller and take a heck of a loss in pay. But nobody's talking about the number of people that are being laid off. Because, another 200 or 300 get laid off? Well, you take 200 or 300 from this, from the takeover of Wachovia. You go out here and look at all the small mom and pop businesses that are losing their jobs around America. 8 or 10 here, 10 or 12 there, 14 here, 36 here, 122 over here. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an ongoing thing. And then they come in and say, oh, be praised. We're going to bring Mercedes-Benz to the United States and build Mercedes-Benz here and close down the factory in Germany. Why? Why are they doing that, ladies and gentlemen? They want to move into a plant here that's already been closed in the United States and to build Mercedes-Benz because of money. It's all about money, not quality. The Germans are upset. The German workers are really upset. But it's all about money because all of a sudden the euro dollar is over $1.50 for a U.S. dollar. So they can hire Americans cheaper and still get quality workers instead of going off to Brazil or Argentina and bringing in low-income, low-educated people that are going to get paid how much? $2 to $4 a day. Not $2 an hour, not $4 an hour, and God forbid $23 an hour, but that they're paying industrial workers in Detroit or over in Fernand or something like that, starts with an F, in Illinois, Missouri, outside of St. Louis, where there's a humongous Chrysler plant. Those employees there are being laid off. Nobody wants to talk about the massive amount of Americans that are being laid off by corporations around the United States.
Yeah, GM's going to go down the tubes, too. I mean, the writing's on the wall on that. And how many billions of dollars have they given them?
And that's a good question. How many billion dollars have they given underneath the table?
Yeah.
Well, then we turn around and Americans turn around and send money to people overseas under some scam that they're an aunt or their aunt, they're a distant relative of somebody in the United Kingdom or a distant relative of somebody located in Africa. And if they would send $200 or $300, they're going to get a check for $1 million. Well, wait a minute. If you're going to spend that kind of money, why in the heck don't you go out there and pay $500 for a genealogy research and do your own family tree? I paid $2,500 for my genealogy tree in 1989. I had the money, and I wanted to know all of my ancestors. It was ran all the way to Armenia, ladies and gentlemen. I got my dollars worth. Normally, people were paying $500. And I went and I says, look, I want to, you send me a bill. I want to know how far you can take it. They took my genealogy all the way through to the Indian tribes of North Dakota, to the Indian tribes of Oklahoma, to the Indian tribes in Texas, to Indian tribes in Arkansas, especially Louisiana. But every time they found an Indian tribe, that part of the tree died. Because the Indians, American Indians, did not keep the written records. There was nothing past or previous to that, unless there was a notation in a Bible somewhere about them being related to somebody at another Indian tribe. But the bottom line is, the family tree of Raines is taken all the way through. There's always somebody there writing something down, the Caucasian race. Taken all the way back to Armenia in 968 was the last printed record. And why did it stop then? Because of the Black Plague that it came through Europe, ravaged and destroyed the records.
Yeah, Drew, I want
probably gone back further.
I want to give you a chance to catch your breath and.
Oh, I need to take a break. Okay.
And read something to you and the listeners about what's going on, because this is real time what's happening right now. This comes from Christopher Story. I posted this on my website yesterday. Early this morning, I should say. Early this morning. Signs of an endgame showdown with Washington is the name of the article. And I'm going to read a portion here, which is going to sound very familiar to you because you've been listening to my reports on what's going on behind the scenes. The stuff that we don't hear in the mainstream. We're going to talk about the mainstream here, too. 7 aircraft arrived in the pariah United States on this date with foreign dignitaries, officials, enforcement personnel, banking and IT experts, and world court officers for the purpose of reading the Riot Act to the criminals holding high office in Washington, demanding compliance with the justified release requirements of the international community and enforcing compliance and procuring immediate release of the settlement funds. A separate confirming report mentioned 5 such aircraft arriving on this date. It was made known to the pariah United States at the highest level on this date that in the event of any further obstruction, China would finally exercise its full rights under the writ of execution and its lien on U.S. assets at the Treasury, the Federal Reserve, and the White House, and that any such move by China would be supported by the entire international community. This would result in a global crisis of unprecedented proportions, with world financial transactions and trade subjected to immediate and drastic constraints, including the likely imposition of exchange controls and the irretrievable winding up of globalization. George H.W. Bush Sr. and George W. Bush Jr. have indeed been explicitly threatened, it was reported to us again on this date, with horizontalization. And if this is deemed necessary because of their further interference, there will be no hesitation in performing this task. One report advises that former President Clinton has received a similar direct warning that he will be liquidated if he stands in the way. It is also believed that Dr. Henry Hines Kissinger was put on notice to similar effect. The rest of the world issues a dire warning to the United States. China will proceed with execution of its lien, etc., and will be backed by the whole of humanity. Settle now or suffer irreparable consequences, or I should say irreparable consequences. The following well-informed elaborations and deductions flow from the above, within which the Nasara information has been passed to us by usually reliable connected sources. However, we cannot at this time elaborate on or confirm any of the Nasara data, and neither will we enter into any correspondence on its subject, especially given the fluidity of the situation overall. The White House and relevant U.S. authorities have been informed, and it has been confirmed to us that if there is any further U.S. resistance and impediments to the releases, the rest of the world will enforce the releases by technical means and will implement Nasara, the National Economic Stabilization and Reform Act, signed by President Clinton in 1996, which comes into effect when announced. This will mean the bypassing of the Electoral College, the immediate removal from office of the U.S. Cabinet and most legislators, the standing down of officials whose positions are of the President and Vice President Biden from office, and implementation of the special interim arrangements under which the United States is restored to constitutional rule and an election is arranged 6 months after Nasara takes effect. The international ramifications of Nasara will be comprehensively compiled with by the international community. Now, just a little bit more here, Drew.
No, that's quite all right.
In such circumstances, all implicated holders of high office, officials, justices, and legislators go to jail, and the corrupt presidents will cease to exist. See blood on the floor warning below. It is understood that the situation at time of posting was that the U.S. authorities have been or were being advised that this represents the international community's final position in this U.S. prolonged crisis, and that the relevant personnel have been offered a choice between immediate compliance and release of the hijacked settlements, we've been talking about that, and the upheaval specified in general terms above, which will entail blood on the carpet and will have devastating global consequences that will, of course, take the compromised and somnolent mainstream media wholly by surprise. Concerning news management, the strong impression we have gained on this score is that no arrangements are to be made to manage the international fallout if the obstruction persists, as all multilateral cooperative arrangements will become meaningless and useless in practice. The world tipped into a state of unfettered economic warfare with all extant transborder arrangements and international institutions immobilized, and the international banking system disintegrated back into its national components behind tariff barriers and exchange controls. Now, there's quite a bit more there, but you This is a topic, Nisara, that Chris Story has shied away from. He's mentioned it in passing, but he's not gone into it. And this is really what can turn this whole thing around 180 degrees. We don't have to go to war. We don't have to have a civil war. Obviously, that's their intention, is to provoke us into fighting each other, to create a total insanity, not just in this country, but around the planet, while they steal and rob and pillage, as you so eloquently said earlier.
Well, who is the one that wrote this letter, or not, I shouldn't say wrote this letter, I mean, Christopher Story writes the letter, but who are the people that's got the wherewithal to come forth and advise these evil leaders of the elitists in Washington to stand down?
Well, you know, there are elements of the World Court, the International Monetary Fund, and those that really collateralize all these machinations in the economic world. We don't hear about this, but you can best believe that the Chinese and the Chinese elders have something to do with this. This article and others that have been written have been suggesting that China is looking to establish a new sort of Federal Reserve or a new World Bank in Laos, of all places. Now, I find that rather interesting because that's right next to Cambodia, where they say Dr. Ray C. Dam of UNIOTC, or the United Nations Office of International Treasury Control, is located. That in and of itself is a topic for a whole complete show. But let's just say that the denial that this organization exists is a farce. I've researched that, and they have an office in the same building as Alan Greenspan. Now, you've had a series of Federal Reserve chairmen that have stolen massive amounts of money. And not to mention this whole system is fraudulent anyway. And every congressman and senator that may be listening to the show or may be listening to a recording of it or hearing the word through the grapevine, through the intelligence agencies, knows damn well that I'm telling the truth. And that it's a farce, that it's nothing but an international organized crime syndicate. And they give it a name of Federal, which is supposed to make it sound official. Federal Express, owned by the Payzer family. We know that that is an offshore interest as well, as most major corporations are. And then you get into the aspect of arms manufacturing. They used to be made here. Now they're making this stuff or putting the ownership of these companies into Saudi Arabia. Remember that happened a few years back? And then they're telling us these people are our enemies, and they're making the very munitions our soldiers are using? Think about the insanity that's going on here. I mean, you know, we could talk about what Bush tried pulling off with the Lee family and Hutchison Whampoa a few years ago, where they were going to set up a separate port of entry in Freeport in the Bahamas, and they're going to have some machine built in the Philippines to detect nuclear weapons. And they like there's people over there in the Bahamas sending nuclear weapons here. They know darn well who's got the nuclear weapons, and that stopped. And they were announcing, well, they're going to give six ports over to the Chinese. They already gave them Long Beach, but the reality was it was 29 ports all the way down the East Coast and around the Horn into the Gulf of Mexico. Literally, that's what they were going to give up. They were going to put our ports in international control. Tell me this isn't insane, okay? Tell me this isn't corrupt. And the UN is part of this, as much as the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the banks and the pharmaceutical companies, the oil companies, the food companies, Monsanto, you name it, any of them. You can throw any kind of name out you want. They're all part of it. And it's all corruption. Okay. Now, this Nisara plan is debt forgiveness. Okay. They don't want that to happen because their whole house of cards comes tumbling down. Actually, it'll save the banks to have the money in the banks, you see? But it'll be our money. This is the thing. It'll be our money, not theirs. And they can't deal with that because everything in the banking community worldwide has to be accountable. They have to show source of funds, which has always been their problem. When you steal the money and you can't prove legitimately how you got the money, all you can do is say, we stole it, or just leave it sit there. See? That's the problem. That's what's not being reported in the mainstream media. You've got these talking heads going on MSNBC, CNBC, Fox, CNN, it doesn't matter what network you're watching. These people, like you said, very eloquently, have their head up their rear ends. I think.
Well, it goes back to what I've been trying to advise everybody. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Those of you that have really studied history, you'd learn this, that we've got history majors that were born in the early 1800s. And the actual quote is, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Great men are almost always bad men. That's the full quote. And it came from, what's his name? I forgot the guy's name.
Orville Redenbacher. No,
Edward Ogden. First Baron Ogden. Edward Dalberg Ogden. A-C-T-O-N.
His son was
standing up to fight the Federal Reserve and went down with the Lusitania. His son, his grandson.
Yeah, that was a scandal and a half too, wasn't it?
So people have got to understand the corruption, okay, that is out there. The absolute power corrupting absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, our government is taken over by elitists, including the leaders of the CIA. Well, wait a minute. What are you saying, Drew? Well, wait a minute, guys. All you got to do is the man that leads the CIA, he didn't come up through the ranks. He's not one of you. He was appointed. And he in turn appointed the other 12 men underneath him, who in turn appointed two other men underneath them. So the leadership of the CIA and the National Reconnaissance Office and the National Security Agency, the leadership are not you, the men that are on the firing line, the fodder. The leaders of these alphabet soup agencies that are controlled by somebody out there. I got news for you. If you think that Barack Hussein Obama is the leader of this nation, you've got your head up your posterior big time. You're floating around out there in Kansas with Toto lost in the wilderness trying to find the yellow brick road. You need to grab a hold of Toto, put Toto under your belt, and find where the curtain is and let Toto pull the curtain out. Wake up! You know, we have corrupt U.S. intelligence agencies that are worshiping, okay, this minion of illicit financial operations that are excluding we the people. And the Ponzi schemes, the Ponzi fraud, the crime, absolute crime at the top, there's an old quote out there. You know, you tell the bigger the lie, the easier it is to get around it. 9/11, 2001 was the most egregious lie on the people of any nation in the history of man. Period. Right before your eyes, you were hypnotized. Right before your eyes, you believed the film footage that was force-fed later on and not the actual events of the time. And you got this one dude running around out there. Oh, well, everybody knows that the towers came down because of the massive amount of fuel heated up the steel, and the steel melted and brought the building down. take a stopwatch and run it, ladies and gentlemen. A cue ball can't fall as fast as the Twin Towers fell from the Empire State Building.
You got to first
a cue ball.
You've got to first find a 110-story building.
There's only one, and it's in Southeast Asia.
Yeah. But you can presume, you know, yes, that's definite. There was a force beyond a free fall, you know, and a building like that, that size, constructed like that was, should never go into free fall other than under the conditions that it happened. And that was not natural at all. That wasn't the result of a plane crash, as you said. Now, we touched upon many things. We didn't touch upon the illegal drug smuggling that finances all of this stuff. And
wait a minute. They use this term illegal to us, but it's legal for them because they're importing the poppy, the heroin, and they're not just sending it to the United States. The United States of America is the third most populated nation in the world, ladies and gentlemen, behind China and India. China and India combined have well over 3.5 billion people. The planet only has 6.1 billion people on it. America's only got 325 to 350 million. One-fifth the size of either China or India, and yet we deal in drugs here more so illegally than those two countries, and more drugs are consumed in the United States than China and India.
And we probably have 20% of our population is here illegally on top of it, which is another issue in and of itself.
Well, in actuality, according to Dan Howard, I think his website is OutragePatriots.com. According to OutragePatriots.com, 23.8% of the population of the United States is here illegally and reside in all 50 states and both territories.
I was pretty close.
Now, you want to wonder, how in the world do illegal immigrants make it over to Puerto Rico? Puerto Rico is the easiest place to get into for if you're an illegal. Alaska is another easy place to get into if you're illegal. Hawaii is the hardest state in the union to get residency in if you're an illegal immigrant. But we've got illegal immigrants there from Japan and from China and from other countries around the world who go to Hawaii to go to school under their visa. And or they get a marriage visa to go visit some military man, and instead of getting married, they just stick around. If they come to school, University of Hawaii. The University of Hawaii's got over 3,000 missing students that are there on international visas. 3,000, over 3,000 missing students over the last 5 years. Where did they go? They didn't get on a plane and go home. I got a problem, ladies and gentlemen. Got a big-time problem out there. We're being lied to. We don't have honest people, moral people, people with loyalty in Washington, D.C. anymore. It's all about greed. I am a Louisiana boy. I got a senator from Louisiana, Mary Landrieu. She comes from one of the richest families that we have in South Louisiana. Mary Landrieu comes out and under some facade holds out to get $300 million to be sent to the Louisiana residents of Katrina and Rita. $300 million, ladies and gentlemen, $300 million won't even build or take care of one-tenth of the damage that's been done to South Louisiana. And the $300 million was already earmarked for the state of Louisiana, being held up by the Bush administration, and then further held up by the Obama administration. But they will turn around and give $800 billion in a stimulus package to the car dealers and the banks Where are you at? If you took $800 billion and gave it to the people of America individually to help them pay off their homes or fix up their homes, making them more suitable to live and energy efficient, that would have made the economy of America lead bound. And the banks would have been saved. The car dealers would have been saved. Everybody would have been saved instead of some man sitting in the Waldorf Astoria with a $200 million bonus because he got Goldman Sachs $1.3 billion to be given to them every month for 6 months for their stimulus. $1.3 billion for 6 months. Ladies and gentlemen, that's over $8 billion. And he gets $200 million in his pocket.
Those are the ones creating the Ponzi schemes.
That's the ones that's creating the Ponzi scheme. Exactly.
Yeah, I brought up another issue. Well, you know, here's what's happening. They're taking public property and they're privatizing it, okay? They're using public assets to create private investment vehicles. They're keeping the profits. When they go bad, we pay for them. So we end up being stolen from and then paying to have the money stolen replaced. Why? So it can be stolen again. It's simple. It's not real complex. It's not like all of a sudden they're going to get honest and say, okay, we'll leave this here now that we got all the blood, sweat, and tears out of everybody. No, this is to try to legitimize what is known by the rest of the world as corrupt. And you were mentioning things going on other countries on your show. I know Bob Chapman was today. Share what's going on in Greece and France and some other countries.
They're having problems there in Greece as well, and with the financial end. They're about to collapse, okay? And nobody's talking about it here in America. But the kids, the children, the ones that are going to college in Greece, they're standing up. They're actually pounding the pavement and saying, we've had enough of this, okay? And the same thing is going on in Portugal. The same thing is going on in Spain. And the same thing is going on in Brussels. But you're not hearing these reports from Germany, for instance, where thousands of students are marching in the streets because there's no jobs for them when they graduated from their universities this last summer. There's no work. And all it's going to take, ladies and gentlemen, the domino is about to fall. Watch the movie V for Vendetta. At the end of the movie, where the masked man hits the finger against the domino. Well, that's about what's going to happen to the world, ladies and gentlemen. It's about to collapse. The United States dollar is possibly going to crash, much like the German mark did in 1921, only worse. And you haven't seen anything yet. Do you see 12 million people in New York City starving because there's not a fleet of 10,000 trucks? 10,000 trucks, ladies and gentlemen, hauling food and goods that are needed for the people of the metro area of New York City. Per day, ladies and gentlemen, 10,000 trucks that have 200 gallons of diesel fuel rolling their vegetables and meat and produce products to New York City metro area. 10,000 trucks per day. If the power goes off, the trucks don't have fuel to come out of the ground with. And it starts trickling down. Some trucks will be able to make it, but most won't. There is literally 3 days of food in any major city in America. If the power goes out, if the economy comes to a stop, i.e. there's no fuel being pumped, there's no workers in the field, there's no food going, you're going to see people getting real angry. And you're going to see people dying for starvation. Not in 3 days. You're going to see gangs come out of the woodwork. You're going to see girls, teenage girls, 14, 15 years old, 16 years old, selling their bodies to whomever, whatever man there is, regardless of his age, for food. You're going to see women sell their daughters for food right here in the United States of America so they can have enough food to feed their three other children. You don't think it doesn't go down? Ladies and gentlemen, it's already happening in America right now. People are selling their babies so they can have enough money to go buy some Coke. And I don't mean Coca-Cola Bottling Company either. They have enough money to get some crack or some heroin, a speedball. And then there's women out there that are selling their bodies to have a baby for somebody. They're saying, okay, well, I'll get pregnant and you can have the baby. You give me $25,000. You don't think that's not happening, ladies and gentlemen? Yes, there's a lot of artificial insemination going on out there where couples will go to a doctor and say, okay, well, for $25,000 will be for the girl, and here's $5,000 to take some sperm from my husband and give to the girl. What you don't hear, ladies and gentlemen, the massive amount of girls around America that find couples that are wanting a baby but don't want to go through all of the paperwork with lawyers and all the other stuff, so they tell the man, you give me $25,000, and I'll sleep with you on Saturday night and on Sunday night and on Monday night, and you can have the baby. You don't think that's not going on, ladies and gentlemen? That is a fact. There are wealthy men in America whose wives are unable to have children, and they've spent all the money they possibly can finding out that their semen is okay. That it is definitely the wife's problem, the woman that they love and they marry and they want to keep. So what do? They go out and find some surrogate girl that is 18 to 23 that's not on heroin, that's not on drugs. They bring her back to their home. They stick her in the house to be a maid. And while she's the upstairs maid, the man of the house goes over every night and sleeps with the girl until it's known that she's pregnant. Then he doesn't sleep with her anymore. And then she's given all the blessings and everything. And then when the baby comes, the baby's born in the house. And the wife hides out for 6 months or 3 months. And if there's anything seen, they'll take a picture of her with a pillow and a maternity dress. And she'll do the whole game. She'll go out and buy maternity clothes, the whole ball of wax for her to wear. And she'll put on a little weight to make it look like she's pregnant. And then there'll be a picture of her, and she'll give some excuse to all the high society that, well, I look so ugly and I'm puffy and I don't want to be seen in public. So she's hiding out in her home. She'll talk to everybody on the telephone those last 3 months of the pregnancy, while the upstairs maid is actually the one pregnant. It's actually the one that's going to be given the birth of the baby that she's going to say is hers. And then when the baby's born, the girl is given $25,000 and a ticket to wherever she wants to go. And that's the minimum. It goes all the way to $100,000 for a specific bloodline with some of these young girls that are 18 to 21. And it happens not in New York City. It happens in every city in America where there's multi-millionaires who money doesn't mean anything to them. It's all about control. It doesn't happen in every family, but guaranteed, ladies and gentlemen, you talk about white slavery, you talking about black slavery and the black race, it's going on in America right now, with the blessings of people like Dwight David Eisenhower, people like John Fitzgerald Kennedy, people like Teddy Kennedy. Teddy Kennedy got away with murder, and he brought socialism to America. And yet nobody wants to stand up and say Teddy Kennedy was evil.
Yeah. Well, you're hitting all the main points here, Drew.
I got 8 cylinders and I've got them all running.
Well, we can hear that. We can hear that. And you're right, you know. What you're describing is the truth. It's what's really happening. And you know, while you're describing how the rich and famous produce their children, you've got starving kids, you know, all over the world, but certainly in this country, you've got whole families that have been forced out of their homes and are living.
We've got one of the worst areas in the world for young women, and well, I shouldn't say young women, young women and women under 40 with children, with no man in the house, and some with men in the house, starving, literally living on one meal every 2 days in the state of West Virginia, and you're not hearing a word about it in mainstream press. Not a word. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to see it driving down the interstate in West Virginia. You're not going to see it in downtown Harrisburg. But you get out, you go to these cities, you get in your motorhome and you travel outside the main roads and drive down some of those roads, and you'll see these people living in squalor, and you'd think you'd moved and traveled down through the squalor of Mexico or the squalor of Honduras. You travel into certain areas of this country and you don't even have to travel there. Just watch the idiot box. They smooth you with these TV programs. I'll give you a classic example. CSI, New York. Crime Scene Investigator, New York. A few weeks ago, they had an episode where a guy was new to the area, rented a car, and he drove the car according to the guidance system in the car. Instead of looking at a map, he relied on a guidance system in the car that was sabotaged. And the guidance system of the cars put him in an area where the police department said they wouldn't even go after dark. Do you think that we have a nation of moral people, of real justice? Right here in Little Rock, Arkansas, we have a black man that's been accused, placed on the jury, trial, found guilty by a jury for murdering television anchor girl at one of the local stations and literally bashed her head in such evil and pain that it's grotesque. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got reservations about this black man being guilty. I got big time reservations. This man may be a rapist, but not the vicious murder of this young woman that was beautiful. This sounds like somebody that was more closely involved with this woman murdered this girl. But because the black man was arrested, they stopped looking. They stopped looking into the investigation. And they don't want it. Nobody talks about the fact that here's a single white girl that belonged on the pages of Playboy that was murdered being pregnant. Well, who's the father? Who was the father of the fetus that was in this girl? There's an ulterior motive right there. But no, they want to blame it on a black guy that was seen in the area. Well, what was he doing there? I mean, we're talking about an area of Little Rock where black people are not seen, period. Even at 2 o'clock in the morning, if they are, they're usually arrested. You talk about prejudice? Come to Little Rock, Arkansas. I'll show you prejudice. Come to Arkansas. I'll show you prejudice where a white farmer gets all the benefits from Washington, D.C., and a black farmer gets thrown out of his farm because somebody wants his land. For every white farmer that loses his farm and his land, there are 20 black farmers losing their land. The white farmer that lost his land is not part of the system. He's not getting any benefits. He's not coddling down. And this is just Arkansas. in Louisiana, it was worse. I left Louisiana and thought I would find a better place, and it's just as bad, if not worse, here. I haven't seen in Oklahoma, it's the American Indian that gets shoved around. In New Mexico, it's the American Indian that gets shoved around. In California, it's the white man that gets shoved around, and the Mexicans are the ones that get all the benefits. You think that we've got a nation in turmoil? We do have a nation in turmoil. Do you think we've got elitists out there that are stealing the money? They can't wait to control the growth of the tree to print more money. And today, Bernanke comes out and he's scared, literally scared, that we're about to go into a 1930 depression. He's made that statement. I'm going to put it on my News and Views, the three W's, amd.elequity.com, tomorrow morning. And Nancy Pelosi, she's pushing for a global tax. A global tax. And Obama, he's pushing for a $50 tax on every firearm that is sold in America. Not 4 years from now, beginning next January. But there's no way he's going to get that passed by January, but he's going to push it next year. And the elitists around the world, they come in here, and we read the stories from Christopher Story saying that they're meeting here and they're putting down their fist. My only problem here is the elitists around the world, they don't want America to be armed. They don't care about America having its constitution, provided the Second Amendment's not in it. We, the people, have got to unite and find out what's going on and redo our constitution. I'm not talking about a constitutional convention to redo the constitution from scratch. I'm talking about a limited convention mandating everything to be read properly and placed into order. And keep the original 13, the original 13 amendments reinstated. Not the false 13th and false 14th amendment. The 13th and 14th amendment that we have on the books right now are nothing but slavery. Slavery to everybody. And the original 13th amendment was to keep the lawyers from controlling America. Well, the lawyers are controlling America. They're in every business, every major corporation. You look at the CEOs of all of the top, I would not all, but you look at the CEOs of the top 50 corporations in America, and you will find that of the top 50, over half have got legal education in a law school of at least 2 years. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a problem in America. We went to sleep after we won World War II, or did we win World War II? I think we got our posteriors kicked in 1933 by then President Franklin Delano Roosevelt refusing to give the doughboys their rightful due $500 that they never got. They earned the $500 by joining the military and fighting the Germans in World War I, the war that was supposed to end all wars. And in 32, they marched on Washington, D.C., and they were there in 33 when the President of the United States brought out his minions and said, okay, MacArthur, I want you to take your military men and I want you to roust those doughboys off the garden, off the land. And just days before, Major General Smedley, Darlington, Butler stood before the podium telling those doughboys that he was with them. He would stand with them. He would lead them if necessary. And the elitist cabal said, whoa, we can't have the most decorated general in the history of the United States leading the doughboys. They will defeat us. There isn't a military man active duty that would go up against Major General Smedley Darlington Butler of any service. And yet MacArthur went in with Eisenhower and George Patton and rousted the boys. George Patton went in and stopped and turned his command over to his adjutant general and says, no, this is wrong. I'm not doing this. But you're not hearing that side of the rest of the story. All you hear about are the generals that were all there that became four-star generals in World War II. You don't hear about the two- and three-star generals that came through the ranks in World War II that all of a sudden they died in the last days of the war or right after the war of World War II ended in Europe. Why? Because the elitists didn't want these leaders to come to America. George C. Patton was a rich man from his own family, born and raised in the United States of America. His great-great-grandfather, his great-great-grandfather fought in the Revolutionary War as a general. George C. Patton knew history better than anybody that's ever been in political eye. They had to kill him because he knew the truth, and he wasn't going to let America fall. But yet, we allowed him to be murdered and not investigated. We did the same thing with John Fitzgerald Kennedy. John Fitzgerald Kennedy was at odds with his brother, Ted Kennedy, constantly. Read Look Magazine, 1961. Before Kennedy took office, John Fitzgerald Kennedy had a fist fight with his brother Teddy over socialism. Teddy was an outcast. Look at what happened. Who was the Attorney General? John Fitzgerald Kennedy appointed his brother Robert as the Attorney General because his brother Robert was on the same page with him. Loyalty to America above everything else except honor to America and God. Teddy Kennedy was a socialist, and Robert and Jack wouldn't have anything to do with him. They didn't even support him when Teddy Kennedy ran for the public office and got into politics in 1962. People call him the lion of the Senate. He was nothing but a lion of hate, immorality, bigotry.
He was lying.
He was lying. But and today, people are afraid to talk about him because he's dead. I'm not. If a man's evil and he did evil things, you want to talk about one man that has destroyed this country in the last 60 years, it's Teddy Kennedy. A murderer, a bigot, an adulterer, and a rapist. How worse can you get? And yet, you people in Massachusetts, you constantly elected him to power because he was controlling the tit of the cow? I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. You think that this Marine's going to go quietly in the night? I guarantee you, I would much rather be a private following men like George C. Scott or Major General Smedley Darlington Butler.
You mean George C. Patton.
George C. Patton. Well, George C. Scott's a pretty good guy.
Yeah, he was a good actor in that movie.
But George C. Patton I would even follow Robert E. Lee all again, knowing it was all going to lose. I would rather die on the field of battle than live as a slave of 1865. I can't change history, ladies and gentlemen, but I darn well am going to do everything I can. I don't make any money. I barely pay the phone bill from month to month by the graces of donations that come in. And I probably won't get another donation until after the first of the year because the Christmas seasons, everybody has gone out there and they're working to make sure that their children or their wife or put some false presents under the tree, that they're honoring Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's birth was in September, first week of October. His conception was probably in and around the last days of December. His birth was at the end of September or the first weeks of October, and it's documented in the Bible. All you got to do is dig down and read and research. Really close. You can get within weeks or days. But no, we're not told the truth. We've got these lying pastors that sit up in the pulpit to say, give us money, give us money, give us money, then save your soul. Because you're tithing your money to what? You're tithing your money to an evil building? To an evil religion? That has to have a license to preach? Questioning the integrity of America has become the lifeline around the world. And I'm tired of being told by friends in Russia, why do you live there? Why do you want to live under such evil? Come to Armenia. We may have communism and socialism, but we're weeding it out. We've got more freedoms than you do. We haven't got the right to keep and bear arms that you have, as good as you have, but we still have the right to buy a weapon and keep a weapon in our homes. Maybe not as prolific as you do. I've got 12 Marines that live in Armenia, and they tell me they got more freedom there than they got in Louisiana, Mississippi, California, or Iowa. There's the states that they're from, with the exception of Alabama. And they wouldn't move back to the United States for nothing. Now, granted, they have their retirement money placed into an account in which they can use their debit credit card over there. But why punish these men that served 22 years, 25 years, 19 years, 8 months, 21 years, 32 years in the Marine Corps? Why punish them and take away their money that they earned in a retirement base and moved to Armenia? Originally just to find a wife or to visit another Marine, and decided, hey man, this is pretty nice. I can buy this farm for 3 months of my retirement and own 40 acres of land. Oh man, these people don't know how to grow blueberries. And man, that's what my father did. And here we got a man that served 19 years, 6 months in the Marine Corps, who turns 49, has been living in Armenia for 11 years, a Vietnam veteran, and he raises blueberries, organic blueberries, and gets top dollar on the equivalent of a quarter a pint, 25 cents a pint.
And over here they want to fine you and throw you in jail for growing stuff.
And over here they want to fine you and throw you in jail if you advertise that you're growing organic strawberries or organic blueberries and you haven't paid the government $25,000 for the right to put the sign up there that says they're organic. And the national identification system, man, I could go hours on what's going on, what's wrong with America, but I'll tell you one thing that's right with America. There's only one thing right with America. It's the right of we the people to tell you what's wrong with America. That's the only thing that's right with America. We're losing our gun right. We're losing our First Amendment right. And when the First Amendment right, when that right for me to come on a radio show and tell you my viewpoints, you don't have to take my word for it. I document everything in print. And yet, people attack me and lie about me all the time. I was lied to Wendy Wilson that I got on a radio show one day and I badmouthed Wendy Wilson, a master herbalist over in North Carolina, and said that she was using herbs from China on my radio show. And she believed them, but she wouldn't pick up the phone and call me to verify it. Until after the fact. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it hurts. It hurts every time I lose a friend. But the big point that won my honesty back was the fact that whoever told her that, which she never told me, told her I said it on my radio show. Whoa! You know, the wonderful world of archives
yeah.
are free in my world.
Yeah.
And every show that Don Nikoloff comes on, people badmouth Don Nikoloff. You come to my, if you say it happened on my show, boy, you better send it because I archive it. It's there for free. BBS Radio is the next hottest independent radio station and might be the only place that you will get real news, honest news in the very near future. And BBS Radio might have to do it hiding from garage to garage because that's what's coming, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't get out there and start looking at doing something, you've got to do something. I'm sorry I've been talking so long.
No,
I need a break.
That's fine. You're the guest tonight, and I do my share of talking on the show. You see, once I get going, I can get pretty wound up myself.
We fought a war with Britain on the sea in 1812. It lasted for 3 years. And what was the War of 1812 really about, audience? It was about burning your history, destroying your history. If the War of 1812 did not encompass and the British did not burn the records in Washington, D.C., you would see documented evidence of George Washington and his farewell address and the write-overs that he did, as well as his records of what he foresaw happened to America and his vision of what we are going through right now today. He would be classified as a prophet, not just as a president. As a real man, an honest man for America, not as a member of the Illuminati, not as a member as a Mason. Yes, he was a Mason, but he was a Mason before the Illuminati took over the Masonry, before they badmouthed the Masonry. You can't tell me a man gets on his hands and knees and prays three times a day, documented in report after report after report from his officers and his enlisted men. Fighting a war for 8 years, George Washington prayed three times a day. Even the American Indians tried to kill him in 1861, and the chief of the major Indian tribe took the guns away, his snipers away from shooting George Washington because they were constantly shooting him and he wasn't falling off his horse. Even though George Washington was captured by the French and released, the American Indian walked over and looked at his vest and there were 34 holes in his vest. And yet not one scrape on George Washington. And from that day forward, that American Indian chief fought for George Washington. Because he thought George Washington was blessed by his God, which is our God, the Great Spirit. Where is our morals at today? Why have we lost our morals? Because of greed? Because you want to live like the Joneses or the Smiths? You've got to stand up and understand this nation is the greatest nation in the world, the history of the world, and we're witnessing the fall of the Roman Empire, only it's the fall of the United States of America. We've got one last great hope, ladies and gentlemen. We're at it. You, the listeners of this show, the listeners to BBS Radio, you are the future. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. And all I can do is pray that you will wake up and understand it only takes an irate minority setting brush fires throughout America to control the tyrannical majority and put them in their place. Thank you. I appreciate Don.
Yeah, Drew, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for your message. There's really nothing I can add to that. You're speaking the truth, and I want to remind the listening audience you're going to be on the rest of this month every Thursday. So So we'll see you again next week, and I'm going to be on your show every Monday. So,
now, ladies and gentlemen, that also includes Christmas Eve and the first day of January.
Yep. That's how much we're devoted to this.
I only wish we got paid.
Yeah.
I'm having too much fun.
Well, I thank you for your history lesson and all the wonderful information and your passion. That goes without being said. If someone can't tell you're passionate about your calling, then they need to change a dial.
Amen to that. That's why they got a dial up there. Turn it off.
They won't do that. Well, Drew, we got to say goodnight, but I'll certainly look forward to talking to you Monday on your show, A Marine's Disquisition, heard on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and for those listening on the Internet, blogtalkradio.com. You can go there. It airs 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. That's 5 to 7 Eastern or 2 to 4 Pacific Time.
Or 2,200 hours GMT. To 2,400 hours GMT.
Or is that...
That's Greenwich Mean Time.
Yeah, or is that 0 hours?
Well, that's London time, and that's where the main clock is.
Well, that's zero then. All right, Drew, got to say goodnight, but thank you.
Goodnight, goodnight, goodnight.
All right, folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and our special guest, Drew Malone Rains III. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for carrying the show as well. Also, we'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow night when my special guest will be none other than scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, and our resident science advisor, Mr. Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.